Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the You Up podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. Jordana, such a pleasure to be back here with you again, virtually. How are you? What's going on? How are you? What's happening?
I'm good. I went to the Hamptons last weekend. I got out of the city.
How did it feel?
It's nice.
The Hamptons is a weird vibe, I gotta say. We went out to Montauk for a week. Remember, I think we taped from there.
I think you went Memorial Day weekend, right?
Or yeah, and it was weird because it's like, you're like, it's still nice, but everyone is just like, it feels like the guilt is even higher there. Like, it feels like everyone's like, we know it should be worse than this. Did you have that feeling at all? Like, everyone just kind of like looking at their shoes, not making eye contact, like just
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I think we were there, I guess, almost pretty much like a month after you. And I do feel there is a sense of like people are a little more relaxed. Like, you were at their Memorial Day weekend. That's like season start.
I think. Like, what's it going to be?
Yeah, I can't directly compare because I wasn't there before, but I felt like now there's outdoor seating at restaurants, and like people were like going, and they seemed like there's masks. They're kind of like a little more used to it.
That's understandable. I remember we went to like pick up food at like a natural foods market, like as a very like Montauk, like Hamptons type of place, like where it's like a market and they do natural sandwiches and everything's, you know, even the coffee's natural. They don't even have any sugar. They have natural cane sugar, you know, that type of place. And, you know, there is this vibe of like, you know, the people working at that market and the people that are serving that food, they're frontline workers. They have to go into work. And the people that are getting served are like, you know, like they're not essential, you know. Right. And you just it kind of was interesting to see, you know, these people that the person who goes into a vegan or natural foods place is generally kind of an asshole.
I feel like an asshole whenever I'm whenever I come across or like a cashier or like an Uber driver or anything like that.
This is what I'm talking about, where it's like, okay, it's good that they're working because they're making money. But at the same time, we're like, okay.
Seems very unfair.
It seems unfair. It highlights the inequality.
Yes.
And I think it was interesting to watch because you knew everyone at the vegan natural foods place. You could feel that they knew that. And then you could see that the person working there had some more power. Like, he knew people were going to listen to him more. And he was like, who got the garden salad? and everyone's like, it's me. Is there any extra dressing?
Right.
You know, like they were like the power shift was
just take it
palpable.
And go.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, who got the hummus? And it's like everyone's just I only got a little. You know, like,
well, I've seen those like tweets that are like kind of angsty but kind of accurate of just like, listen, like if you're gonna go to a restaurant, like don't complain about anything. And tip extremely well,
which sounds like
not an inviting way to get people to your restaurant.
Yeah,
but also
not at all.
Like, I get it. Like, it's true.
Sure.
Like, you know, no one who's like risking their lives to be like a waiter at like a fancy restaurant wants to hear your bullshit.
I was listening to an interview with Jon Stewart, and he was talking about the idea of like who's essential and how the disparity and all that stuff, and He had some great points about it, and just hearing how he talked about it, it made me think back. And you're like, yeah, but like, you know, I went to a restaurant and everyone working there seemed happy to be working.
Right.
You know, I did a show last weekend. You know, I did a show, and again, I am not an essential worker, but I was at a socially distanced show. I am in a vineyard. It was outdoors, and I've never felt, you know, it felt like I took my head and dunked it in water just to be able to do what I normally would do my normal job. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like, it felt like I just, like, I got refreshed from it. Like, I felt like I was like, because I was telling you before we started, I went back and listened to my sets from February, and I'm like, I'm listening to jokes I'm making. I'm like, who would even relate to this shit right now? Like, there's real things going on in the world, and I'm right. talking about zoodles. you know?
Yeah.
So it was nice, though, to, like, go do a show. But, like, it was, for me, I'm saying, in a sense, I'm going to work for people who paid tickets. I was happy to be there. You know, like, I was excited.
Well, yeah, you're working.
I was working. So, right. But right. It was interesting. Because, like, I think, again, we've talked a lot about, like, the vibe online versus the real world vibe versus, you know, you coming from South Carolina versus coming to New York. Like, what? We're all just kind of afraid of the unknown or what we think the place is like. And I'll tell you, doing shows for a group of people that were of all ages and genders and backgrounds and races, I was like, what am I going to say? You know? And it was nice that everyone there did want to hear about zoodles. They wanted to hear about stupid shit. They wanted
ready
like,
to laugh. Yeah.
We can laugh again, Jordana.
Yes.
We can all laugh. Well,
That's nice.
There was a woman in the front, and she had like the John and Kate plus eight haircut.
Okay.
And I said to her, I go, what's your name? And she's like, I'm Missy. I'm like, you look like you got canceled for not putting on your mask at Walmart.
Okay.
And everyone like did the thing where they're like,
it's okay to laugh.
And then everyone looked at her and saw that she did look like a woman who'd be screaming on Twitter, you know?
Right.
And from one of those viral videos, she looked like the quote-unquote Karen, I guess. Yeah, and everyone saw her then kind of laughed in the shoulder of the person they were with. You know, that, like, knowing right. laugh. And then the woman, she laughed, too, and it was like, stress went away. You know, it was right. like everyone kind
it's
of.
It's like when the humidity breaks because it finally just rains.
Absolutely. That's exactly how it felt. And it was just like, this is my way of telling people, like, it feels like, you know, it feels worse maybe hidden in your apartment than it is when you go out and you kind of interact with people as much as you can. Right?
Yeah, it was. I agree. Yeah, I saw friends this weekend. It was really nice. I really missed it. I didn't realize how much I missed it until I like saw
it's
people.
It's a relief though, right? Like, don't yeah. you feel like you're going to see your friends and they're going to be like, where's your mask? What have you been doing for, you know, the marches? And you're like, I don't know. I just
Right. No, it was like, I mean, a slightly tweaked version. I mean, in some ways it was better than when we usually see each other because we're like appreciating it. We're doing things.
Absolutely.
And in some ways, I mean, there's always like, it is weird to be like sitting in a restaurant or like waiting to get seated at a restaurant with a mask on with your friends. But like you look at it and you're like, wow, this is like kind of funny. Like, can you yeah. imagine like if we like someone told us we were going to be doing this like a year ago?
No, I mean, even using the word quarantine felt is weird. Like you just saying that word. I'm like, am I in an episode of South Park? Like I do have that feeling every now and again where you like that. You know that feeling where like you lift out, you're in line with your friends with masks on, you kind of lift out of your body and look down at yourself and you're like, what right. the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
You know,
so
I don't know. This is all to say I'm back on the road. I'm going to do shows.
Yeah. When's your next show?
I'm going to do shows. If you're near Baltimore, Maryland, I'm going to be at a club called Magoobies. That's
that sounds like a parody of a like comedy club where like a former frat guy would be performing.
That is exactly right. I'll be doing all my Natty Light bits right. at Magoobies in Baltimore. it's been there. I've never been to the club, but I know it's a long. It has a long history. It's been there for a long time.
Do they do weddings?
They do weddings. You can have your wedding at Magoobies, Jordana. Nice. July 16th through 18th. That's Baltimore. So if you're near close to Baltimore, the show is going to be, you know, people will be wearing masks and it's going to be half capacity. But I'll be there for the weekend, July 16th through 18th. And you can go to my website to get tickets, jaredfree.com, jaredfree.com. It'll be my return to the clubs. But, you know, I'm excited because I did a lot of like new stuff about like moving in with Jess and
yeah, there's just, a like, lot to talk about.
There's a lot to talk about. There's a, and so, and it was like, it generally like did well, but it like, I think for stand up, the hardest thing is like you need to go on stage to work on it. So it was nice to like say a bunch of things that I'd been thinking and then hear that like, okay, I'll never say that again. I'll work on that. So I have things to work with and I'll be in Baltimore, Maryland, July 16th through 18th at Magoobies. All right. That's all out of me. Jordana, it's great to see you virtually. Let's start the show. What are we talking about?
Let's do it. So today's topic is about meeting up when you've been seeing someone virtually. I think people, as things are starting to open, I mean, obviously you and I are not currently like dating, but the sense that I've gotten around me is that like there are things to do now if you want to go on a date.
Yeah. I mean, you right now living in New York City, if let's say New York City is like, is somewhere between totally locked up and not
completely open. Yeah.
So there are things to do. If I was a single guy, I know exactly what I would do. I would be like, meet me in the Lower East Side. There's 30 bars around here within walking distance. We'll do a little bar crawl. We can go sit outside at certain places. We'll find a stoop to sit on at the very least, or we'll end up at one of the restaurants that has outdoor seatings. Like the fact that I can make
up
that
date. You've been thinking about.
It's all I think about. Jess and I walk around. I'm like, where would I take another woman?
Where do I take my mistress?
Well, yeah. Well, have you thought about that? Like, have you looked around and been like,
I mean, I'm walking around Brooklyn. Like, I see people who seem like they're on like relatively early in the game dates.
Yeah. I've seen the dates, and if anyone is sitting in New York City right now, the excuses are gone. Let me just tell you. Let me be the reality, the smack of reality for you.
The devil on your shoulder.
I'm gonna be the devil to let you know that the guy who hasn't made a plan yet with you. And again, this is for all 50 states. I know some states are closing up, but like, you know, my younger brother's in Florida. He's out. He's doing stuff. Like,
I mean, it's summer. This is the time for an outdoor date.
You could take a walk. There are ways to meet up with whoever you are talking to. So if you're speaking with someone and you don't have a plan within the next week or haven't done a plan by last week, that person is hovering. That person is knowingly not making a plan. And I'm getting serious with people because I'm trying to get through to people because I know exactly what's happening. There's a lot of people out there who are going, well, we're socially distanced.
He's still not really sure.
He's not sure.
I don't know if it's safe.
Right. And it's like, let's not live in the tail ends of the curve. Let's live in the fat mean, right?
Do you think that men take social distancing less seriously than women or are more inclined to take risks than women are?
I personally do think so.
I feel like that too. I mean, I have no evidence, like hard statistical evidence to support that.
Well, just look. I mean, you wouldn't know it by all the women that are getting videotaped at Walmart, but it does. There was that one dude that like ran into Walmart, then fell on his face. That's pretty funny. I would think men are more ego built, so they are more likely to think that they are invincible.
But I think that combined with just like the kind of like intense like animalistic urge to have sex or like be physical.
Sure. I mean, women have that too. I would also say women though, like the idea of like self-care is way more a female thing. Just from living with my girlfriend, the amount of serums, the medicine and cabinet, treatments, yeah. the medicine cabinet, the doctor's visits, the, you know, like she's said to me, I tweeted this out, but I was like, I think my girlfriend has had COVID 18 times in her period, 30 times over the course of 3 months. Like, it is like there is way more. I think women seemingly, and you can speak to this better than I could, but seemingly are more in tuned with their body and care more about it.
Well, yeah, I think that that's, I don't know if that's like an innate thing or a societal thing where they're just like, you better give a shit about your body because or else no guy is going to like, sure. like that's like a lot of the messaging is like, you know, buy this serum so that you have less wrinkles so that men won't find you repulsive.
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit of a societal thing that's been like ingrained on us. Like we're constantly marketed like all this shit so that like we think we need it so that people will find us desirable. Mm-hmm. Whereas men are just like, I don't think there's like there's being all these products are not being marketed to you in the same.
Yeah. Watch one episode of The King of Queens and men will care less about their bodies and women will probably care more. You know, like right. just you know, that's a show that if you look at it, you're like, in what world does this guy that works at the, you know, the big fat dude that works at the, you know, yeah. UPS is with like hot, what's her name? And
I forgot what her name is. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. But King of Queens, just look at the setup Remini? Of that show. Yeah.
Is that her?
Leah Remini.
Yeah, Remini, is that what you say?
Leah Remini. So, yeah.
It reminds me of the movie Chef. Have you seen the movie Chef with, I think it's called Chef with John Favreau?
And I've seen it.
His ex girlfriend is like Sophie, his ex wife is Sofia Vergara, and he's married to Scarlett Johansson, and he's like a dick to both of them.
And it's like, oh, because he can make a good grilled cheese sandwich.
Fajita? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I. These
like,
are
what are these women have like John Favreau dysmorphic disorder? Like,
and this is no hate on John Favreau, but yeah, I agree. So these are societal things that are just around us that, yeah. I mean, I
have all the serums. I have all the serums too. I'm not to say that I'm above it.
I'm with you. If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code UUP10.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Do we want to read the email before we get into it?
Yeah, I'll read the email. This is a slightly different kind of question, but it's about sort of the same topic.
Sure.
So The woman writes in, "Hi, J&J, training for a half marathon and listening to this podcast is the only thing that gets me through my long daily runs. I'm not sure if you covered this before, but how long is too long?
Hold on, I'm sorry to interrupt, but how funny would that be if she was just like that? Part of that sentence sounds like she has the shits."
I didn't read it that way, but that's now that you mention it.
This podcast is the only thing that gets me through my long runs. That's where my mind goes first. I'm obviously not running a lot. Okay.
A marathon, yeah. A toilet marathon. I'm not sure if you covered this before, but how long is too long to talk to someone from a dating app before meeting them? I've been talking to this great guy on Hinge since the beginning of Corona. We both live in the same city and matched the week before shit literally hit the fan, which led to us both heading to our parents' houses for the remainder of COVID. Somehow we've kept in touch for the whole time, texting, Snapchat, FaceTime, even some light sexting, LOL. Problem is, it's been 3 fucking months now, and we still haven't met. We're both heading back to the city to resume work in mid-July, so we're trying to schedule a date to finally meet for the first time. But I feel like at this point, we've been talking for too long to meet, you know? Like, we've invested so much time into our virtual relationship that I feel like meeting in person honestly might ruin it because we've built it up so much in our heads. What if he's not who I was hoping he'd be? And even worse, what if I'm not who he's hoping I'd be? In my mind, he's this super cool guy who kept me sane and laughing during quarantine. Should I just leave it at that instead of potentially mega disappointing myself? Thanks, quarantine quakes."
Well, can I answer her just very quickly?
Sure.
Just like the short answer is, should I just leave it at that and potentially mega? Does that mean she's like saying, should I just not meet him?
I think
is
so.
Is she fearing the disappointment? I kind of
understand it. I think that like the idea of not meeting him is sort of crazy, but I do understand the idea of like, maybe I just have this like this person and I don't want to like take it to the next level, because the next level is like getting actually physical. And she's like, maybe, because I think this kind of happens sometimes. I don't want to say all the time or related to anyone but myself, but I remember when dating, it was like, if you weren't physical with someone for like, if you were like dating or talking to someone for too long and no one made a move, it just became almost like a, you got like a friendshipy vibe. And then like the idea of like getting physical becomes weirder and weirder and weirder as it goes. And then you're like, sort of like, should I just not even go there with it? I don't know if that seems like kind of what she's talking about here.
Well, from the male side, I would agree with that, but it's in a different way. If it goes too long without getting physical, which the quarantine kind of forces for a lot of people, you are now left at saying in the position as a guy is like, if we have sex, I am in a relationship with this person.
Right.
Because what gets put on you a lot of times is, oh, you have sex, and then you go, well, I still want to be casual. And they go, oh, you just did all that stuff to have sex. And you just kept me on the line to have sex.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people in this position are going, disappointment.
The stakes seem higher than like a first date, obviously. Absolutely.
And disappointment is a part of dating. You have to factor that in. That is, if you're starting a business, if you owned a store, you would factor in that things are going to get stolen. There's breakage, so to speak. If you own a liquor store, they have something called breakage where in your accounting, you're accounting for a certain amount of dollars of product to get broken. So you have to do that with your dating life as well. Like the idea that she has had a great time talking to this guy and then she goes, well, I don't even want to meet him because it'll ruin, you know, like it's like, then what are you talking to him for in general? Like all 9 out of 10 of these aren't going to work out. Like if I was single during quarantine.
Well, I'm saying she's putting him on a pedestal. She's like, this is like the thing. Like she's probably envisioned her whole life with him now. And she's like, ugh, like it can only get worse from here because like, it's so great
I mean, you guys coined the term emotional masturbation. Isn't quarantine like the number one, like wouldn't a scenario like quarantine be the place where emotional masturbation is at its highest?
Yes. Totally.
And wait, can you explain, maybe we have new listeners, the idea of emotional masturbation?
So emotional masturbation is kind of like, well, if you think about, I think most people are familiar with the regular term masturbation, which is like...
I'm familiar. I've done it once or twice.
Right. Yes. Where like a man, let's say he goes on a date with you, will like imagine himself having like, imagine what you look like naked, or like use images of you in his head and like think about what it would be like to sleep with you. Emotional masturbation is when you meet a guy and then you build up an entire like emotional life with him, and you project all these like emotional things, or you spend your time sort of thinking about your future together when you don't really know the person yet. Just in a way, in the same way a guy might think about what it's like to like sleep with you.
You're thinking of what it's like to have lived a life with this guy.
Right. Yes. You're thinking about like, you know, them meeting your parents, or or like long-term dating, or like where you're going to go on vacation together. You're thinking about like all these, you're projecting all these like fantasies of dating them, not sexual fantasies, but like emotional life fantasies onto this person that you don't really know that well.
I love that phrase and that term. Mm. I think what we all need to admit to, male, female, whatever you are, this is happening to everyone. Everyone is extrapolating every person they've met during the quarantine out, because there is really very few ways to disappoint people. You can keep up. If I was single during quarantine, I could have kept up these types of relationships. The one she's talking about, the guy who was funny and got her through a tough time, I could keep that up with 30 people. Like, I'm just...
She's definitely not speaking to 30 people, though. That's, like, kind of the thing.
But she has to admit to the reality of what could be going on the other side. Also admit to your own delusions. Like, I'm delusional, I admit to my delusions, but, I think they're, like... You have to, like, dating, you have to be delusional. But you
account
have to
for, like, the flaws of this person that you don't even know about yet.
Exactly. That it won't work out. Like, that 9 out of 10 times, these don't work out.
But I also think there's just, like, there's a higher window to fall from for this, like, than usual. So I get why it's, like, heightened. Like, the anxiety or the nerves about it are heightened, because it's, like, have you ever, like, spoken to someone either on a dating app or through texting, and then like you've seen pictures of them, and like even maybe even video chatted with her, but then you see them and there's like that thing that's like sort of a turn off that you would never be able to tell, like, not in person, like the little thing. Do you know what I mean?
Of
like,
of course. I think that's called, like, moving in with your significant other. Jess asked me to use a coaster on the first day, and I was like, I wish I could move out.
I can't
for
do this.
This. Yeah, like, I was like, I didn't know you were a coaster person. Like, this is called dating. This is called, like, just because you guys met online and had good conversations doesn't mean the first date's going to go well. Just because the first date goes well doesn't mean the second date's going to go well. Just because the third date goes well doesn't mean you guys are going to get engaged and get married and have babies and grow old together. Like, what has happened doesn't mean what will happen, you know?
Right.
And I agree with you. It is a much steeper mountain to jump off of. I think that's a great way to put it. I think to this person, like to have loved and lost, to the never have loved at all, like, doesn't that work into this?
Right.
Like, you got to play in traffic if you want to get hit. Like, this is like, I can use a million different dad metaphors right now, but I'm saying, like, I think,
agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, I think it is what the hard part is. And I just talked about this on my podcast, but I've been like thinking through this analogy. And I want to talk about it with you. And it's like the idea that, like, the more connected you become online without is like giving someone free access to your amusement park. So, like, you're an amusement park. You got a lot of fun rides. When you let someone follow you on Instagram, FaceTime with you, text with you, those are all free ways to ride your rides. You don't have to go, you know, and then during quarantine, we all just were kind of opened up shop. We're like, anyone can come in here free because I can't go out with them. So there doesn't need to be an excuse of, well, I can't do the
to
date.
Follow someone or do something. Okay.
Yeah, like it, like yeah. It, like if someone followed you on
there's
Instagram,
no,
but
there's no way of there's no way of getting to test the person's like actual desire, like to see you. Like there's no way to see if they're doing anything like public, expensive, or difficult. Like I
totally talk totally. About.
Because like there's no opportunity for them, so there's no way to like weed through the people who won't yeah. do that. Besides the fact that they can't really sleep with you, so like I do think there's a sense of like if they're continuing to talk to you for that many months, and they're not sleeping with you, perhaps it like forces them to get to know you.
I totally agree, and I think like there's like a subtle change in the beginning. If someone wouldn't FaceTime with you, they were definitely not going to take you on a date. They weren't going to walk right. the streets of New York like it was Gay Paris. You know, like that's not, that wasn't going to happen. But right. if someone has done all the steps that this person is writing in about, they're saying they've done the FaceTime date. They've done they've kept me laughing. We've texted every day. I've never even met this person. Okay. Well, all those things happened for free. None of them right. cost the person real time because where else were they going to go? It didn't cost them real money because they couldn't even buy you a drink. And it didn't cost them not talking to someone else while with you. They could have been texting with you and copying and pasting to 30 other people.
Right. I agree with that. So like what my advice, I think given that information, my advice to her would be, I would do a first date. Like you, I think there's, it's easy to get like fall down the hole of like, oh, we're like already so, you know what I mean? We're already so close and connected. Like this is going to be like a full day date and we're going to do all these things. And we're going to like, I would just start, I would keep it like to a very simple activity to put low pressure on it to make yeah. it so because, and to just expect that like, there's a chance that like, once you kind of have to start making those like actual sacrifices to see someone or put an effort in, like it could all fall apart. But remember that like, even if it does, the person was entertaining to speak to for a while. It brought you some entertainment. And like mm-hmm. just the idea of like not letting yourself get to the point of like thinking that this is going to be something so huge that you're disappointed when it doesn't become that. Like I would keep the date relatively short or at least like go into it thinking it will be.
Or relatively casual. Like, hey, let's yeah. do. But also like don't keep making excuses for these people. I'm just saying if I was single, I'm telling all of the women listeners, you're dealing with guys that are probably similar to me. And they're not 100% different than me. Maybe they're 10% different than me, but they're not 100% different than me. If I were single in quarantine, I would have like, there would be more than one person I'd be speaking to. And then there would be someone that I would go on the social distance date or the walk around Manhattan that I talked about before. There'd be another person I would have an excuse for. There'd be another person who I'd stop texting altogether. That would happen just by, I'm not saying.
Would there be another person that you would be like, why don't you just come here? Like we won't have to be in the crowds.
I would hope that I would be better than that, but I don't know. I can't speak for the not, but I would say that a lot of what's going on, a lot of the quarantine dating, when quarantine's over, is dating bullshit.
Right.
So the hovering around and not talking about a plan, where the guy just keeps going, how was your day? How was your weekend? All these people, you need to go, weekend was great. Let's do drinks this week. And just, right. if they can't make a plan or give a substantial excuse at that point, then you're dealing with someone who only wants to quarantine date you without a quarantine.
Right. Who's using you as a distraction.
Yes. I think this is going to be the big thing. We're going to get 1,000 emails about, I was texting for 3 weeks and he just disappeared. It's like, yes, of
right.
course.
Because the moment it was the moment of truth.
Yes.
Shit or get off the pot.
This is the thing. Phrase,
as the saying goes.
As the saying goes. But we have been talking about this for now a few months. Like when this opens up, these people that were writing their own scripts to you, they're going to stop writing the scripts. They're not going to be Romeo. They're going to be Randy, who fucking sucks. So I think to this woman, this guy that she's talking to isn't bad. He isn't good. He's just him. and you have had a, I think all you can ask yourself, have I enjoyed talking to him during quarantine? Yes. Do I want, what do I want to happen next? I want to meet him in person. Great. Right. Hey, let's do drinks this week. Let's get it out of the way. And it's a lot like what we're talking about in the beginning of the show with like shows and seeing friends and being worried about like, what's it going to be like? Is everyone going to be yelling at me? You know, like, and it's, and you're going to find that, and like me, when I went on stage, I was legitimately nervous. I was like, I haven't done these jokes. I'm going to forget them midway. I'm going to start crying on stage. Viral video of Jared Fried fucking shits himself at a winery, public breakdown. And that's not what happened. It was just very normal. So I think what you said is, it's got to be a simple date. And it's got to be so simple that if he can't make it happen, he will never make it happen.
Right. And again, I would say, like, just keep your expectations, like, in check. Again, like, don't think of this as, like, a huge, like, rom-com moment of, like, you're finally seeing each other and it's going to be, like, happily ever after, because that's just not how it goes.
And if I went on one day with a girl that I've been talking to for 3 months, I would, there'd be a piece of me that'd be like, I'm not going to get physical. There's a piece of me that would be like, I'm not going to get physical with this person because I don't want to get locked into a, like, a 3 month relationship we're already into.
And I bet a lot of guys will, like, twist that to be like, I'm not going to get physical because, like, I'm being socially distanced safe.
Sure.
That's a great built-in excuse for that.
And then you'll never see him again after one date. Because, again, the mountain that you talk about, the mountain that she's talking about, the mountain that is created by quarantine, a lot of people don't want to buy into the responsibility of it.
Right.
You know, like, it's interesting that she's more afraid of going, meeting him in person. He's probably more afraid of disappointing her after they meet in person.
I could see that. I think she's afraid of being turned off by him in person, or maybe, I don't think most people fear turning other people off, but not everyone is completely self-aware because that happens all the time. I mean, like, I know a guy who, like, was, you know, FaceTiming, like, talking to someone, like, going on a lot of, like, those virtual dates, speaking to someone for a while, like, she was, like, really built up in his head, and then he sees her, and I'm like, oh, like, good, like, this is gonna be, like, such a big thing for you, like, I'm so excited for you, and then he comes back from the date, and he's like, it was good. I'm like, well, like, what was the first thing you noticed? He's like, she wore a little too much makeup for me.
Oh my God.
I'm like, this person that you've been, like, you're talking about, like, for all these weeks, like, you're so excited to meet, like, you think you're so compatible, and, like, that's, like, your first impression. It's like any little thing can, like, just, like, ruin the fantasy. It's crazy.
Yeah. And it's all, I think we have to. I think if you're someone who, like, checks boxes to make sure the other person likes them, you're going to be disappointed. Like, if you're like, well, we've done FaceTime, we've done this, we've done that. Now, obviously, we'll go on a date. And it's like, no, obviously not. Okay? There was a global pandemic. Again, a year ago, you wouldn't know what was going to happen. You'd be weirded out that you're wearing a mask. You can't count on the things you used to be able to count on. So you got to react to people in your own way. Like, that person you're talking about, like, too much makeup. Yeah, they're just saying I'm not really as into it as I'm not into it. It wasn't about them.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to do some awkward sex?
Let's do it.
Send them in. UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, J&J. You guys have been keeping me sane for the last 3 months. Not sure what I would do without the pod. We're here for you, baby. I've been seeing this guy for a few weeks, and last night, due to quarantine, rain, and both of us living at home, we had a date hooked up in the trunk of my mom's minivan. Very high school, I know, but we're both out of college in his family's garage. It was a great time. We put the back seats down. Oh, I'm going to read this sentence sexy. Ready? We put the back seats down. We laid out blankets and pillows and played music. I can hear the Dave Matthews Band now.
It's so funny, like the difference I feel like in age of dating. Like for her, she's like, this was so hot. Like put down the blankets in the back whenever. And I'm like, what a cheap piece of like, did he bring
get
any
a
wine?
Fucking hotel. Yeah. Where's right? Where's the wine? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I stupidly left the air conditioning on with the engine off. Well, thank God you turned the engine off. I mean, my God, like,
after avoiding COVID for months, this is not the way to go.
This is the way they went. He mentioned at one point that it may have not been the best idea, but I brushed it off because I obviously was thinking about other things. Ha ha. Anyway, I'm about to head home. So I go to try to start the car and the engine just sputters out and I see the battery light blinking. So naturally we both freak out. Neither of us know how to jump a car, and we had just hooked up in my car in his parents' garage. So the only thing we could do is to get his dad to help. His dad comes out. I'm sitting in the front seat just watching this guy and his dad figure out how to jump my car. His dad doesn't say a word to me the whole time, but thankfully my car eventually starts, and as soon as it does, his dad basically runs out of his garage. Needless to say, my lesson was learned. Car hookups can be cute as long as you don't kill the battery. I also got to watch some major father-son bonding. And don't worry, we're still going to hang out again. Just no cars next time. Signed, not how I'd thought I'd meet his dad. This is great.
This is great. I can't believe the dad didn't say anything to her.
I mean, there's nothing more dad. I imagine this. As a dad in his boxers.
You're thinking of, you're putting yourself in the dad shoes.
I'm putting myself in the dad shoes where I would come out in the boxers in a t-shirt and be like, I would have talked to them both. I would have made a lot of jokes. Like, oh, what are right. we doing? Like, I would have done a lot of, what are we doing out here? You guys, what are you guys, fixing the motorcycle? You know, like, I don't know. I feel like I would have, there should be some, I feel like you got to do some dad stuff, but I do understand if when it's your kid, it's different.
I feel like he's probably like, I'm putting myself in the dad's shoes too. And I'm like, I'm just trying to like watch my show. My son comes out. Who's already, I've been feeding for like 4 months now.
Yeah.
You know, paying for all his shit again, even though I thought I got rid of him after he got into college.
Yeah.
Now he's like having sex with this girl in my garage. And like, now I have to get out. Now I have to go to the garage and like jump her goddamn car.
the son has like messed up sex hair. Right. She's in front of the front seat. Yeah, it's incredibly awkward. I mean, if anything, it's more awkward for the dad than any of them.
Well, that's probably why he was just like, I'm not even going to like get involved in this conversation. I just want to be in and out.
In and out. Yeah, he's sitting there. Like, it would have been worse. I think it's worse if he had come in the garage and like high-fived his son and been like, outlast the battery. Yeah. Good job, buddy. Like, that would be worse.
Or said something weird and like creepy to her. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think... Also, anything he says could be taken as creepy. Hey, how you doing?
I feel that,
She could have gone like, can you believe he asked how I was doing? You know, right. Like I would be like, you know, I guess you're right. Like the jokes aside, like eyes at the ground. I'm not even going to look at these people. I'm going to just do the job. Get the fuck out.
Right. I would wonder like how much context the son gave him.
Hey, Dad, like, we were watching a movie on my phone. And in the trunk because the TV in the house kind of sucks. Like, how do you bring the dad in? What is
right
what,
like, for me? I'm so anxious. I think that this would like freak me out. That like this was something he did all the time with different girls, and the dad's
really?
Just like, oh, another one.
This is the fifth car I've changed. I've fixed this week.
Like, why didn't he want to meet me?
Yeah, the dad. It would have been better if the mom came out and was like, who wants lemonade? You guys look flush. Like, I don't know. It's. Do you have a name for it?
I'd call it the Get My Engine Going.
Get My Engine. I like that. Jumpstart My Heart.
I like that.
AAA. The Mechanic.
Triple X to AAA.
XXX to AAA. Yeah, I like that.
There we go.
Yeah, do it. Red flag or deal breaker? Anything?
Depending on how long we've been seeing each other, I feel like it'd be a little bit of a red flag if like they didn't try to introduce me to their dad.
Yeah. I mean, It is a tough one. I mean, this is the first time they've met. So, like, yeah. It's like...
I get it, but,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I get it. I don't even know how I would make that introduction. This is Jordana.
It's also like a minivan. That adds an extra... It's like she's in her mom's minivan and his dad comes out. Like, I feel like there is a big subsect of the COVID population that is just regressing back to, like, complete high school state.
Absolutely. Like, I think I was saying over Mother's Day weekend, it was weird that, like, there are people that are like, there's not much that's changed from when they were 16.
Right.
Like, there are 28-year-old people at home that are, like, in the same bedroom having the same arguments just with, like, I got to go to work instead of school.
Right. How quick and easy it was to like, get right back there. Like, it took years to get out, and then now you're just...
I mean, my parents are legitimately begging me to come back home and just live that way. Like, they want that to happen.
Well, I thought they banned you.
They banned me, then they bring me back, and then there's all...
Well, now they're banned from New York, right?
they're
from
banned
Florida.
From New York. Now they get a little taste of their own
medicine.
Tables
of Dern.
Yeah, the tables of Dern.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code podcast15. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me, like, know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
Let's do some emails. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com.
Hey, J&J. Been listening to the UUP podcast after a colleague recommended it to me, and I've been hooked ever since. Colleague is such a formal term.
It's very formal. I mean, I'm also in not... I mean, you have your own business. Like, you wouldn't look at Aileen or Sammy and
my
be like,
colleague.
My colleague. I would never look at a comedian.
Well, I call them sometimes, like, my partner, which also feels weird.
Yeah, that, like...
They're my business partners, but, like, it sounds weird. I don't know.
If,
like,
you say thrilling. Partner, it's weirder than business partner.
Right. But then business partner also sounds, like...
Very formal. Yeah.
I don't know. I've got to figure that out. It's only been 9 years. I have a question that's been bothering me for a while. My boyfriend and I have been together for 3 years, and I have a great relationship with his parents. I'm Facebook friends with his mom, and so is his ex. A little backstory. My boyfriend and his ex had a mutual breakup 4 years ago. Towards the end of their relationship, he suspected she was cheating on him, so he brought it up to her. Upon being asked, she got mad and asked for a breakup, to which he agreed to. This whole thing sounds like a law, like a law hearing record, like a stenographer.
To which he agreed to is very much, yeah, courtroom stenographer, lawyer speak. But, okay, you know, They did. I have to say, this email is the perfect length. It gets to the point, as you know. So I can't.
Yeah,
I can't hate too much on the email.
That's true. We're the worst. We like talk shit if it's lengthy. We talk shit if it gets right to the point. Thank you very much for writing in.
Yeah, yeah, and it's grammatically easy to read. It's in like really little paragraphs.
There's full complete sentences.
Yeah, I gotta say the last one I had to correct drunk to trunk. So.
From what he has told me, their relationship was toxic and his parents never really liked her. Anyway, it came to my notice that each time his mom posts a picture
on
Facebook...
That's another one.
My notice.
It came to my notice. I mean, yeah, this feels like they wrote it into Google Translate. Sorry. Okay.
It came to my notice that each time his mom posts a picture on Facebook, his ex will be sure to like it. At first, I didn't put too much thought into it, but after a while, I realized his ex will like all of her pictures except for those that I'm in. Is this normal or am I being overly sensitive? I personally think it's weird to even still be Facebook friends with your ex's mom, and even weirder by still liking all her pictures except for the ones where the current girlfriend is in. I've never brought this up to my boyfriend since he doesn't have social media, but I'm also afraid he'll think I'm crazy for even paying attention to who is liking his mom's posts on Facebook. However, girls do have a little crazy in them. Am I right, Jordana? Anyway, I would love...
Am I right, crazy?
Mike just looked at me. Like
he's like, yeah, she's right.
Right, psycho? That's me.
Yeah, that's you. Our resident psycho.
Well, if you're 10% away from all men, I'm 10% away from all the girls are thinking. Anyway, I would love to hear your opinion. Thank you for keeping me entertained during this work week, and I can't wait for more episodes. Sincerely, the confused girlfriend. What do you think? What would you think if Jess brought this up to you?
I would... If Jess brought this to my attention, I would file it under what the fuck am I going to do? Like, what do you want me to do? you know, like, I would be exhausted by this. I to be perfectly honest.
Right. It's not like a problem that you have to figure out.
It's a problem that I didn't have anything to do with. It's a problem that I'm not encouraging. I think also something that is prevalent in this email that maybe some people wouldn't admit to is moms of a certain age and Facebook are fucking weird. So like,
but it's not the mom.
It's not the mom, but she says, you know, I think it's weird. Like I'm saying the mom is a part of this and you can't have the son go to the mom. Basically, what you'd be asking is for the mom to unfriend
her.
That's the kind of the solution, which you could get to. But I'm saying, let me just be real with the emailer, is the mom doesn't see it as this ex is meddling. The mom sees it as...
Another
like. That's exactly. Like, my mom looks at Facebook as if it's People magazine. Like it's the new kind of like trash supermarket magazine. It's Us Weekly. So like the way my mom interacts with Facebook, like she's supportive of everybody, blanket supportive. She accepts all likes. She's everywhere in the comments. She's emoji. I didn't even know she had the ability to find. She finds emojis and animated GIFs that I didn't even know you could find on Facebook. She finds them. So I'm saying like, this is one of those things that like, and also the girlfriend side, all of us are making social media rationalizations. Like how many people do you follow that you're like, what the fuck am I still following this person for? Like,
you know what I mean? Especially on Facebook when you made those connections, like, Years and years ago.
Totally. And so the rationalization of I'll be supportive of this mom who might be liking, we don't know, I don't know from this email, but the mom might be liking every one of the ex's pictures. You don't even know.
not to give you more ammo.
Sure. But I'm saying like since moms are just blanket liking, blanket commenting, just super positive forces on this thing, as my mom is.
Right.
My mom interacts with people. I'm like, I can't believe they interact. Like, I'm like, I can't believe these two talk. So, like, this email to me is very normal, and it's something that, like, so we don't know
would
if
this
the mom...
bother you if it was, like, Jess's mom and it was her ex-boyfriend?
Not at all. I wouldn't even dig
to find
this.
I feel like you wouldn't
this.
Notice. But
I wouldn't even dig for this. This is something...
Let's say it just came up.
If it
was,
came
like, right
up,
in your face.
I would go, good for them. Like, I really, like I'm not leaving my girlfriend because my mom has a relationship with another girl I used to hook up with.
Right.
You know, so what do you think? Because I just think that so much of this email is kind of like the weirdness of how we interact with social media. Like, the idea right. that she doesn't like pictures of her, the mom's pictures where she's in the picture. Of course she doesn't. This ex has created her own set of rules where she's like, if the girl's
too weird,
that's too much. Yeah, that's right. She's going, oh, I don't want to overextend myself. I don't want to be weird, but I will like everything else. So, like, it's kind of like in the same way where people are like, well, Tinder's for hooking up, Bumble's kind of for hooking up, and Hinge is for relationships or whatever it is. And you go, who the fuck made those rules? You know, like, just that's the way you've comforted yourself.
Yeah, I think, okay, I agree with everything you're saying. I can see, and not as a fellow crazy, I can see a scenario where if I saw this, it would bother me a little bit.
Sure.
It would just be like, I'd rather this just like wasn't there, because it just, I mean, it's just like a reminder that other person exists, and it blows the fantasy of like you were the only person that ever I guess, or something like that. But I think again, if I was like at this point, she said that she's 3 years in, right?
Is that what she said? Yeah,
I think so. I think at that point, like, you know, it's not about being like, you know, it's not about being a threat to your relationship. It has nothing to do with you. I would just like remind myself of that.
Yeah.
And then just kind of like either like not look if like it gives you like a small twinge of irritation.
Also, in addition to that, the high road with social media is always the better road. It's always it's always the less strenuous road. It's always the less exhausting road. It's always the one that makes you look the best. So the idea of like to kind of pivot this into a different conversation, but like if you saw your boyfriend, if Mike had pictures of him with another woman of him and his ex from college on his Facebook, because you went 7 years back or however many years back and you were like, well, I was there. It's like, who are you doing that for at that point?
Right. It's also like, do you know what I mean? By looking, it's like the idea isn't to pretend that the person you're with has never been with anyone else before and to eradicate all evidence that shows that. Like, if you look enough into anyone's past, like that's there. It's like, I guess I can see how it'd be annoying that it's like still somewhat in the present. Like, this person just sort of like feels like they're like lingering a little bit in the present. But I don't think a like is like a big enough offense. Like, if she was like commenting about or like getting together with his mom, I think that would be like a totally different scenario.
That's kind of
what such a passive. Yeah. This is such a passive, like really like, what was it say? Harmless. This is like a passive kind of like harmless, slightly annoying thing. And I would kind of file it under that. If you found out she's commenting, great to see you at brunch this morning.
Sure.
Like, on the mom's thing. I think that, you know what I mean? Like, every offense
story.
Is like, all offenses are not created equally, and
I
all
agree.
Like little like social media, like, you know, improper social media forms are not created equally. So I think that this alike seems harmless enough. I think if it was, you should think about like what it would be like if your ex did that on your mom's. Like, would you want to say something to them? You probably wouldn't.
No, I would just, I mean, no, I it's not worth it. It's just, again, that's why I brought up like the relationship moms have with Facebook. Like, they might, the whole algorithm, they might have been liking each other's pictures 4 years ago when they were together, And then now every single update, it just keeps coming up. And now you snowball to this point where you see, you know, this guy's mom is among seven other people that show up on her feed.
Yeah. I mean, I would just think of it. It's like, it has nothing to do with you. It probably has nothing to do with even that relationship. And like, yeah, it's slightly annoying, but like, it's 2020, like, stop spending so much time on Facebook.
Yeah. It's over. It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real, I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at bowlandbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, bowlandbranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Let's do another email. UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Hi, J&J. Love the podcast. You guys are like the older siblings I always wish I had, helping me and my friends navigate dating life with necessary humor and reality checks along the way. Thank you for what you do. I'll get to the point. I'm 29. My boyfriend is 32. We've been dating for a year, and things are great, except for one thing that bothered me. He never compliments me. He's never called me pretty, never says I look nice if I get dressed up, has never said anything at all about my appearance, even during the heat of the moment while hooking up. It's not as though he's throwing out insults at me instead, and I know he's uncomfortable giving and receiving compliments. She put in quotes, that must be what he said, something he has said to me early in our relationship after I told him he looked good. But I also don't want to assume that I am physically his type or fall into a weird, feels platonic, yet have sex vibe. I think I have a healthy sense of self-worth, but my ego isn't so huge that I don't need those types of compliments from time to time, especially from the one person that I want to find me attractive. My question is, how do I bring this up to him without sounding super full of myself? By fishing for compliments, do I look good in this dress? Or by asking him to tell me things that he might not really feel, like maybe he's just reached the age when all his friends are now married, so I'm at least good enough for a plus one to these social gatherings. Oh my God. That's the most depressing.
We've gotten to the heart of the issue.
I mean, she's like, I'm appreciating her email, but like maybe he, can you imagine saying this to someone? Yeah, we're all married now, so you're good enough for a plus one.
Right. Please date me.
Please. I'll take you. Side note, he isn't exactly dishing out the compliments on my personality either. This is someone else. Side note, he isn't exactly dishing out the compliments on my personality either. But in those cases, like when I laugh at my own stupid jokes, I'm more comfortable teasing him about it. Like, wow, I'm hilarious, right? Oy. And I don't feel as self-centered as I was if brought up my appearance with him. I'm a longtime listener and don't think this topic has been touched on before. Any advice is appreciated. Sincerely, so you agree. You think you're really pretty. It's a great sign off. What do we think, Jordana?
I have dealt with an iteration of this before. Mike isn't like the most complimentary person I've ever been with, and I don't think it's in his nature. He keeps looking at me. Can you put your music on while I talk about you?
Well, I've been accused of such a thing.
Yeah. I mean, I've had that issue before. I also think that if you're like a more sarcastic, less like sensitive, emotional person, you tend to date people like that.
Sure.
Also. So I'm not sure, like, but I think that I totally understand what she's saying, because I've had that issue before where I'm like, I don't really feel like I'm like insecure, but like it would be nice to hear like a compliment from the person that you sleep with about your physical appearance, or just a compliment in general, like just makes you think that the other person is like somewhat like still, I guess, like infatuated with you in a sense, or like feels like really strongly about you, or feels like lucky to be with you. And like, I think that the annoying thing is like that being read as being insecure.
Mm-hmm.
When really it's just like something that makes you feel good that you want. And I think that's how you have to phrase it, of like, not like in a way that's like accusatory to the other person of like, you never do this and it makes me feel like shit. It's more like, I love it when you do this, or like to like,
sure,
to sort of reward any time that that's done to you, and to let the person know how happy doing those things makes you, they should feel like inclined to do it. I think just because it's not that hard.
It's not. Well, it is that hard. Let me push back on you, because anytime I've been accused of this, I have someone that I happen to live with, as I peer over my shoulder, I will say I've been accused of not saying I love you enough. And I'm always like shocked. I'm like, I say it all the time. I feel it. I give hugs. I give kisses. Right. And to me, I think they're like, I think it's this like miscommunication thing where it's like, but I think I say it. Like,
right.
I'm not like keeping track. And then maybe, you know, and
then
not,
you get accused of keeping track.
Sure. Like, and then you go, and then you get called out on it, because I've been called out on it. And I go, but I do say it. Like, there can be a miscommunication of feeling like you are giving the compliments and feeling like you are saying the I love yous, and then it's not being felt on the other side. So, like, right. I do understand, like, we're both not wrong. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, yeah. I do genuinely feel, I'm like, I do. I'm not? What? I
right.
love you.
And like, then of I go, course I do. Yeah.
I love you. What are you talking about? And then that I
right.
love
then
you
it's like,
count.
Well, you just said it. Right. Yeah. Well, they're like, no, I think you look great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this one doesn't count clearly. Like, I just had to like physically ask for it.
Sure. So it's like, and then if you say it later on while the fight is still in memory, it doesn't count. So right. like, if I was like, I love you, she'd be like, no. Fuck you. You know what I mean? Like,
it has to be more spontaneous than that.
This is exactly the tough part. So
right.
You're trying to hit a bullseye on the emotional fucking chart. Like, I'm taking the other side, because I understand, like, when someone says that to you, and you do feel that way, like, this guy could be sitting there in his head being like, she's so fucking hot, and just doesn't say it, but he's feeling it, and he's like, you know when you like say,
so what do you think is the way to like get someone?
I actually think that
what works
like,
on you.
I just told you it doesn't work. Nothing works. I think knowing it makes it so you it's like if you don't tell someone to take out the garbage. Not to compare this person to garbage, but but I'm saying, if you don't mention the garbage, then they're never going to know. So she has to say, I think the way you fashioned it is right, where it's like you were saying,
love it. Like, I like in a positive way and not in a, like, this is what you're doing wrong way of like, when you say this, like, it makes me feel so happy, or like when you,
but I think you could say that in a fight. Like, I think this kind of deserves, like, a small fight.
Okay.
Does that
well,
make
she's
sense?
She's saying she's, like, not... It sounds like they've already had the fight.
Well...
Where he says, I'm just not that comfortable giving and receiving compliments.
She said that happened in the beginning of the relationship. She's holding on to this, like, resume item of, like, that he does excel. Like, he has experience in Excel. And, like, it's like, okay, we're 3 years right. past that. You know, I've been dating my boyfriend for a year. He might have said that in the beginning, but, like... Here's the thing. You have this person is deserving of feeling whatever way they want to feel. You are feeling like you're not getting enough recognition that your boyfriend is attracted to you. I think it's okay to get dressed up one night, you guys go out, and then you come home and you go, hey, it's kind of fucked up that you never told me I look nice in this dress. It feels good when you tell me that I look good when we go out for a night. You didn't even acknowledge, and it's right. Like, at least it
happens.
I wouldn't say,
that sounds like a test that you set someone up for to fail so you could yell at them for failing.
Well.
In a little bit.
A little bit, but I'm saying she's gotten to this point of noticing it. So now right. She's noticing it, and now how do you bring it up that I've noticed it? Like, I don't.
Right.
You know, like, I understand. I agree with you. Like, it sucks to test people, but I'm also like, I wouldn't know.
Well, she's trying to, like, I get her frustration because she's trying to not do that by just being like, what do you think of this outfit? Like, so she's trying to get it by, like, any means possible. Like, she's, like, the way that we want it is always, like, totally spontaneously having nothing, like us not having to ask for it. But so she's trying to do it in a non-contentious way to just be like.
But the difference, like, between what do you
push
think
of, bear, that's what I do. Like,
well, what do you think of this outfit? Is that's more of a test to me than let's go out, let's look nice. And it's like, hey, this night kind of got spoiled for me when you didn't even tell me I looked nice. And that's kind of like, and I'm telling her, like, it's a tough, like, tight wire to walk where it's like, you could be upset and not put this person through, like, make them sleep on the couch or whatever the fuck it is. You can say, hey, it fucking sucks that you never tell me how nice I look, and it makes me feel kind of ugly when you don't do that.
Right.
And it makes me feel like I'm a little turned off by it, and that's how I feel. And then it's like, then there's an he'll do what
well,
I would
can't
do.
Argue, you can't argue that. Because if you say, I agree that if you put it on a specific instance, it's easier to work with than if you're saying it generally. Because if some, you say it generally, the person's like, what do you mean? Like, I told you you look great like 3 months ago.
Exactly.
Like, I tell you that a lot. Like, and then the person's like, well, you haven't said it in whatever. And then you're like, oh, are you keeping score? This is much easier to, because it's like, yeah, on this specific night where I felt really good about myself, and it kind of like felt a little bad that you didn't notice.
Yes. And
right.
And you can say, like, he can say, well, I'm not comfortable giving and receiving compliments. Hey, I like compliments. I like to know, you know, like, it's the same as saying I like flowers.
Right.
Now, you know, you know, like, like you don't like to buy flowers. Well, then you don't like to be. Well, I do right. like them. And know that, like, I want to be with someone that wants to do things that make me feel good.
Right.
You know, like,
I agree. And I think the thing to realize is that that person that you're with is never going to be the person who's just like incessantly complimenting you at all times. I don't think people can change that much. So if that's your expectation, I would maybe look into someone else. But if you want someone to move a little bit more towards you, if they want them to be like 20% more complimentary than they are now, I think that's a doable thing if the person really cares and wants to try.
Yeah. You want someone to move 10% towards you. You know, that. And
yeah.
Also, if he was the guy that was like dishing out compliments every 5 seconds, she might not even be into
too.
Him. Yeah. She'd be like, what the fuck? Are you pandering to me? Like, and it's like, there's an in between, but you have to, like, you can't just like be like, she wants to work on it because that's why she emailed in, but I'm like, You can't just let this go for months and months and months and then go, well, he never told me that, you know, again, the general, what you said about the general complaint never works.
Right.
The specific complaint, because again, also you're dealing with a man and guys want to fix it. So if you show him the moment that he could have fixed it, then he'll hopefully know for the next time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, they say, like, I don't like the idea of like having to train men. But, like,
well,
there is something to it. You're training them in what you like.
Listen, I think of relationships as two different puzzle pieces that need to be, like, nudged together a little bit. You got to, like, push it in.
Right.
You know, like, maybe those two puzzle pieces don't go, but we need them to try and push them into together to, like, you know, meld into one piece. And sometimes you can't push them together, and sometimes you do.
Yeah. And I think the way to phrase it is like, hey, like we're dating, like I care a lot about what you think. And like, yeah. I mean, it's important to me to know that you think I look good, that you find me attractive, that you think I'm hot. So also, like, if you could find some way of, like, I don't know, maybe you can also say like, okay, like I get you're uncomfortable making compliments. Like if you could find what way would make you comfortable to like, show me that you find me attractive.
I don't even think she has to say it that way. Tell them it turns you on to hear that. Like, that's like that's a motivating thing. You know what turns me on? When you tell me how good I look out of nowhere after I've gotten dressed up for you. Like, that right. gets me wet. Like, if I heard that, I'd be like, oh, okay. Look at how amazing your dress is. Did you go to Rag and Bone? Like, I'd be like really right. fucking interested. So,
yeah,
let's play some games. You ready?
Let's do it. Red flag or deal breaker? They wear their phone clipped to their belt.
This to me, I need them to like be the CEO of like seven Fortune 500
like
companies.
IBM.
Yeah, I need them to be making so much money that like the phone clip is like also or a doctor. You gotta okay. save lives, or you gotta pay for my life to have the phone.
What if
clip.
They're a sales planner?
This is very specific.
I'm good.
If they're in
what if
sale,
they're a PR representative.
If you can pay for my life or if you can save my life, I will let the phone clip exist. I was watching
that's fair.
Sarah Hyland was on they had JoJo's
I saw that, yeah.
JoJo's best of season and Wells and Sarah Hyland came on and I was like, "Oh Wells, that guy is just like does he just sit like all day? Did they just like trap? Like if I was him, I'd be like, whatever you want. I'd be calling her beautiful all day long. Like they're
so,
just.
So is that to say that only Sarah Hyland is deserving of being told that she's loved and beautiful?
That is to say that Wells better be fucking, you know, putting in some work. That guy, he was like holding his lottery ticket. Can you imagine? Sarah Hyland, yeah. I don't know. What do you think? Red flag, deal breaker.
I mean, I agree with that. It's always interesting to see Bachelor find people to date them in the real world, especially celebrity actresses.
Oh, I mean, but think about that. Think about Wells's ascension. He's a radio host who goes on The Bachelor, becomes beloved. Then goes on Bachelor in Paradise, not as a contestant. He's so beloved by the producers
that they allow him to not embarrass himself.
Exactly. That they make him a character, the bartender on Bachelor in Paradise. Then he's out in L.A. and Sarah Hyland's like, oh, yeah, let's go out. And he's like, what? Are you kidding me? And it's like.
Yeah, The Bachelor was like the best thing to ever happen to Wells in his entire life.
I mean, I'll say it right now. I think he's going to be the next Chris Harrison.
I can see that.
It feels like he's being kind of prepped for that position.
That was kind of funny when Chris Harrison was like, wow, Wells, what a loser. Look at you now.
Yeah, because he knew he could do it with him. Because he knew he was a cool guy. I got to meet
like,
Wells.
That's got to be weird for you, right, man?
Yeah. It's like, it would have been funny
Wells
if they came
like,
back to...
Oh, I didn't realize it was even that embarrassing, but yeah. Thank you.
actually, this just made me look better to my now wife or my fiance. Yeah. Like, it would have been funny if he came back to Wells. He's like, oh, I guess you're not as much a loser anymore. And then he's just holding $700. He's like smelling money.
It was also so funny, like the way like they're probably like trying to convince Sarah Hyland to like get on this like segment with him. And she was like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And Wells was like, you can wear your vote shirt and just scream at everyone to vote. Okay. Okay. Right. Like yeah, Chris yeah. says, you can do that.
You can do that. Okay. Fine.
Mention voting like at any moment, like just constantly if you want.
There you go. You're in.
All right. Red flag or deal breaker? They put Snapchat stickers
well, hold
over
on.
All
you
their
didn't answer,
nudes.
You didn't answer oh. the phone clip to their belt. Are you oh, okay with that?
I agree. If they're paying for shit, I'll make it work.
Okay. Like with most things in life, money talks. Okay.
Exactly.
What's the next one?
The next one is they put Snapchat stickers all over their nudes. For example, a green man stick figure leaning against his penis. LOL. That's
fun. That's inventive. I'm all about
it. I think it's funny.
Love it. Green flag. They're great. This is
I think
green
it's a
light.
Green flag too, especially yeah. just because I've never really wanted to get like a nude photo of a man's big penis coming at me. So I think the green man would take the edge off.
Yeah, if it was like a cartoon baby sucking at a nipple, that'd be fun. I'm all about that.
Yeah, sure. Picture of Lisa Vanderpump, whatever. Anyway.
The last one, this prompt, this is from Hinge.
Yes.
And the prompt starts, the one thing you should know about me is, and then here it is. I never pick my own order at restaurants, bars, or takeouts. I don't even look at the menu. I always get them to surprise me every single time. This is quite a move. So at restaurants, this person looks at the waiter or waitress and says, surprise me. And that's how they order.
I think it would bother me, but I think it might just be a red flag. It's like, in a way, sort of adventurous, but it's also sort of probably annoying for the waiter. Like, they're one of those people who do annoying things and don't see how they're annoying for other people because they think that they're just, like, fun and quirky.
They think they're the central character of the world's movie.
Right. Like, what is the waiter supposed to do with that?
I don't know. And what if they're wrong? Does that affect like, their tip?
Right. Now he's got to, like, find a moderately priced item that,
it
doesn't get a key.
It's fraught with issues. Most importantly, what about appetizers? What about, getting a, so we're just getting our own shit and I don't, you know, like what if we want to go sharesies? What if I want to get one sandwich and you get another sandwich and we split each other's halves? Like you are, again, this is a move of selfishness. I agree right. with what you're saying.
It's disguised as adventure.
Yeah, this is a selfish move that everyone else works for you. This is a narcissistic move. It's awful. I think you're also taking away the pleasure of discussing with someone that you're sitting across from the menu items.
Yeah.
That's a part of the whole dinner experience. Oh, I'm looking at three things I love. What are you thinking? What am I thinking? This is the whole thing. It's one thing to look at the waiter and go, do you have a favorite on the menu? I love doing that because it's an immediate outing of whether the waiter likes the food at
the
restaurant.
Likes the food? Yeah.
Yeah.
The best is when you can get the waiter to talk shit about the food.
I like it.
Or when they're like, you don't want to order that.
Any opinion, any opinion from the waiter is appreciated. Good or bad. Don't get that. This is the best. And I like hearing lots of people get this, but this is the best. Like, I like when they say, the idiots get the chicken sandwich. We all get blankety blank.
I'm trying to think what the waiter would say if they had never tried anything on the menu and did not like the food.
Everything's good was what they say. They go, everything's good. We love everything. It's all good. And that's when you know that they've never eaten at the restaurant or they fucking hate everyone that works there and they're going to spit it in your food. Yeah, that's the telltale sign.
That's a good, I like that. That's probably, that I sounds actually, very accurate.
I just talked about this with Jess, how much we hate when the waiter says, everything's good. It's like, no.
Right.
Say something sucks, say something good, you know?
I think... Yeah, I agree. I think I'd be okay with it if it was like every now and then. But then again, like every now and then there's like the chef's choice menu or something.
Yeah. I just want to know, like when there's like specials.
Yeah.
Like we went to a restaurant the other week. If you're in Stonington, Connecticut, I don't know who's there or what's there. This restaurant was doing some things. We got some of the best scallop I've ever had, best pasta, White Crest Eatery.
While we're plugging restaurants, I'll plug the restaurant that I went to in the Hamptons this weekend, which was awesome. Their electricity was like out, or like the kitchen thing was out. And so they but they made the best of it. It was like a very tough situation. They just kept bringing us drinks and it was like awesome. Oh, one shit. Of the best service situations I've ever had. It was called Calissa and it was in Watermill. Okay. I highly recommend it. It was really good. It had a great like outdoor seating, lighting situation. It just felt very like nice and almost like you were in Greece and the food was great that they could bring out because they couldn't make all of it because it was there was electrical issues. And there was just like amazing customer service. So highly recommend it. It's called Calissa.
Calissa, go to Calissa. Jordana, we did it again.
This was fun.
Lots of fun. Great to see you. If you guys are in the Baltimore area, I'll be at Magoobies July 16th through 18th. JaredFried.com. That's it for me.
All right. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Boom.
You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.